The first step in solving a problem is to acknowledge that there is a problem. Millions are buying books about finding purpose, and polls show that tens of millions of people are miserable and unfulfilled in their jobs. These two things show pretty conclusively that people are admitting that there is a serious problem when it comes to finding purpose in life. The second step in solving a problem is to define the problem, which we did. Our problem is that we need to be needed, to fill a need, to count. The third step is to find out how this problem came about. Why is it here? A big reason? Ego. The Bible has many verses talking about pride. We've confused being needed with being wanted. We want to be the center of attention rather than truly giving to others and making a difference. The fourth step is to identify who is involved in this problem. As was talked about in part 3, it is us and God, our Creator. We, who wonder why we're here, and He, who longs to be our Father. The fifth step is to identify the tools necessary to effectively solve the problem. And that brings us to part 4, recognizing the tools that the Lord has given you. Now, if you see a backhoe, you immediately know what it's made for. It has a large bucket on the front, a smaller bucket connected to an arm on the back, and large tires to go through dirt and mud. It's obvious that it's made for digging. If you see an airplane with wings and a tail, you say to yourself, that's similar to a bird. I'll bet that's for flying. And you would never mistake an airplane for a backhoe, nor a backhoe for an airplane. It's obvious what each are made for. And the same goes for you. The tools you are equipped with shows what you are meant to do. So, how do you identify what you're meant to do? First, ask yourself, what do you enjoy doing? In other words, what in life gives you that runner's high? What makes you feel needed? What makes you feel like you have a purpose? Feel like you belong? What gives you a sense of accomplishment? Now, I'll just use myself here to give you an example. What I like to do is problem solve. Find a solution. It's why I hate repetitive tasks. The problem is never solved, only temporarily taken care of, resolved for a short time. Second, how do you begin to engage in a life that gives you purpose and fulfillment? One, identify your gifts. Now that's different from identifying what you enjoy. That's an emotional high. Now you have to identify the physical and mental. In other words, what is your body capable of? What is your mind capable of? What is it that you have that allows or will allow you to carry out the task that gives you purpose and joy? Maybe you have the ability to see matching color schemes, symmetrical shapes, or unique patterns, which allows you to be a great interior designer or landscaper. Maybe you have great speaking abilities, or are good with numbers. Maybe you enjoy the rigid discipline of the military. You might have a strong sense of justice and the ability to convey that in court, making you a good policeman. Or you might have great empathy to help and encourage others, which might make you a good counselor. Now, for me, I have a pretty good memory to recall, which allows me to see patterns in word and speech. I can see things, for example, in the Old Testament of the Bible. When I read the New Testament, I see similarities, and I can compare the two and go, hey, they link up. I also have a strong desire to make things better, a strong desire to present fact. I do not like mere opinion. That's why I like to use the Bible. I'd hate groupthink, and I'm a strong believer in individual freedom and responsibility. I can ponder for long periods of time. I remember my mother telling me that she would put me down in a corner when I was real little, come back an hour later, and I'd still be sitting there. I've always had that ability. I can be alone and think for long periods of time. And I have a strong desire to help others solve their problems. Next, identify where and how to use those gifts. Once again, using me as an example, where? Here on this website. I can bring the Bible to life, hopefully help solve some problems, make Scripture maybe a little more clear. How to do this? Take the Bible and maybe put it in context to today's problems. And for you, take the same approach. What are your gifts? How can you apply them to do what makes you happy, give you a sense of purpose and meaning? Once again, what is purpose? Do doing something meaningful and beneficial that without you would not have taken place. This does not mean now, and this is where I want to go into something very important. This does not mean that the actions, functions, skills, or talents that you have are exclusive to you. Others may have the same skills or talents and perform the same type of action or function. An example, parenting. Many millions do it every day, but what you do has a meaningful and beneficial purpose to a certain person or group of people. In other words, you make a difference in their lives. In this example, parenting, although millions parent every day, you are the parent to your children. What you do, although not a unique or exclusive action overall, is unique and exclusive to your children. You see, our purpose does not have to be one of a kind, exclusive to you and no one else on the whole planet. What makes it meaningful is, although others may share the same skills and talents, only you, or perhaps you and a small number of others, are sharing your abilities with a particular person or group that without you, this person or group would not benefit or be helped. Although there are many firefighters across the country, if you're trapped in a burning building in a town with no firemen, having thousands of firemen on duty everywhere else does you no good. Their talents and skills are meaningless to you. We need to stop thinking that because others have the same abilities that we do, God doesn't want us, that He has no purpose for us. Yes, others may have the same abilities, but they may have these abilities at the wrong place and time to help a particular person in need. The person at the right place and time to help may be you. Let's say that you're a writer. You have a certain subject that you want to write about, but others have already written on the same topic. So you doubt whether you should write about this topic. But keep this in mind. Others wrote earlier, and those books may be on a library shelf, gathering dust. Your book may come out at the exact moment people are looking for the answers or topics that you wrote about. So although others wrote about the exact same thing, your book comes out at the exact time and place to help others. They may have never thought to go to the library to look up the older books. So if you hadn't written yours, these people would have never found the answers to their questions or needs. Or let's say you meet someone who isn't saved. You say to yourself, he's already heard the gospel, so telling him again would be meaningless. True, you may have heard the gospel in the past, but it was at a time when he wasn't ready to respond. Now, he's at a point in his life where he's open, perhaps because he's suffering in some way. So although he's heard it before, you're in the right place at the right time to tell him the good news. Here's the problem with so many Christians. We think that evangelism is something that you see some televangelist on TV, or it's something we do in church. The fact of the matter is, most of evangelism does not take place at church or on TV. The unchurched aren't called this because they show up there on Sunday or because they watch it on television. You see, most of evangelism happens outside of the church. This is why the Lord doesn't make us all pastors, nor does He make most of us missionaries, because missionaries go to other places and countries to start churches, or at the very least, to work with existing churches. Either way, once again, the unchurched don't go to churches. Because of this, the Lord gives us many different gifts and tools to allow us to go out among the masses in all kinds of professions, to first be a testimony by how we live, and then second, to witness to those who want to hear about the gospel. Notice I didn't say as a witness to everybody. The Bible doesn't say everyone called, few chosen. It says many called, few chosen. Many out there have hearts far too hard to even begin to listen to the gospel, a gospel that talks about humility and putting others first. This goes against the grain of so many who are arrogant and self-serving. And today, the entitled mentality is worse than ever. So let's do a quick summary. First, what gives you that runner's high? What tasks, what endeavor makes you happy? I believe the Lord programs this into us as a reward to get us on the right track, the track that He has chosen for us. And be specific. If you like to exercise, for example, what type? Aerobics, weightlifting, yoga? These are all different. Which kind makes you the happiest, the most fulfilled when you're done? Second, identify your gifts, the tools and talents that you have. Now, you may not have all of the tools right off the bat. You may find out that you love weightlifting, for example, but you're physically a real skinny person. But what you will have is a strong mental drive to work out, which will eventually build you up so that you can lift more and work out even harder. So don't think that you need all of the tools at once. The most important one is the drive to work at it. Then identify where your gifts can be used. In this example, a gym. First being a testimony to others, then telling those who might inquire of the good news. Next, don't think your gift has to be exclusive to you, or that just because others have come before you with the same gifts and talents that you can't be used by God. Remember, you might be the one at the right place and time for God's purpose. And don't forget, evangelism isn't always with pastors, missionaries, or evangelists. In fact, most evangelism comes outside of traditional church roles. Whatever your job, your position in life, ask the Lord to use you to fulfill the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Use your gifts to reach those who live their lives outside of the church, which is most of the people. And don't worry about totals. How many people hear the gospel from you? Someone in a poor country getting the gospel to a few dozen people, or even less, might have to overcome far more challenges than an evangelist in this country preaching to millions. Think about it this way. Someone who's crippled faces far more challenges walking 1 mile than a healthy person doing an Ironman competition. And don't worry about your past. Paul cast his lot to have Christians put to death and actively persecuted the church. Yet he became one of the, if not the, greatest evangelist of his time. The Lord can forgive you, and the Lord can restore you, no matter what you've done. It's never too late to find lasting purpose in your life.